Welcome to the Single Well Podcast. My name is Dr. Mila, and I am a family doctor turned wellness transformation coach. I created the Single Well for Christian single women and moms who want to learn how to simply incorporate wellness practices into their daily lives. After having a baby, getting divorced, and years of struggling with weight gain and declining health, I went searching for a natural weight loss solution. But instead, I discovered that true health was found in leveraging my spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, and relational wellness. Listen in to gain the tools and mindset to start developing your own unique wellness strategy. Let's do this! Please note, the information shared on the Single Well Podcast is meant for informational purposes only and is not meant to replace the advice of your personal physician or healthcare practitioner. Please consult your personal medical professional before embarking on or implementing anything discussed on the podcast. Hey there again. Welcome back to the Single Well Podcast. So this episode is about discovering physical wellness. And this is kind of the main focus of what I do in my wellness transformation coaching. At least it's what people are after, right? You know, people are thinking about how can I change physically so that I can lose weight if that's what they want, or you know, change my body, or, you know, improve my health in some way. But, you know, it's interesting that when I went looking for physical wellness, I was really looking for weight loss. But I found that all of these other wellness pillars were so important and so pivotal to my journey. So when I think about physical wellness, you think about your body functioning properly. You think about being able to do certain things with your body, being able to move in a way that is not restrictive, to be able to eat and, you know, have the food nourish you and not have it be kind of a burden in a way, you know, where you're constantly thinking about what to eat and things like that. And I know that was part of what led me down this path. You know, I had tried many different diets and was trying to figure out a way that I could eat seamlessly and still lose weight, really. But what I found was that I wasn't focusing on the right thing. I was focusing on the physical aspect of my physical wellness, which, you know, sounds silly to even say that. But there was so much more to it that my body, I had to learn how dynamic my body was and that the body is constantly interacting with its environment as well as having millions of different reactions going on inside of it. And so the first thing I had to learn was that a diet is just that. It's a diet. It's a temporary thing. And that what I really wanted was a lifestyle. I wanted something that I did every day that added up to a great result. So instead of saying, okay, I'm going to eat this way for 2 weeks and then I'm going to get this weight off and then I'll be good forever, I had to start thinking about how I wanted to eat, what could I eat and to enjoy it, but also to have it really improve my health. And so for me, that was a combination of low carb lifestyle and intermittent fasting. And it continues to be my foundation to this day. And the reason I call it a lifestyle, though, is that it's how I live. It's not something I do when I want to get a couple pounds off. It's not something that I, you know, go back to for a couple weeks to fit into something. This is the way that I live my life on a daily basis. And what that doesn't mean is that is perfection. It doesn't mean that I'm perfect and I eat perfectly every day and I fast exactly how I want to every day. But it does mean that my goal is to eat and live in such a way that I thrive and not just survive. And so for me, it's become a lifestyle. And you hear a lot of people say, you know, that they tried multiple things to lose weight, multiple things to improve their body or their health or whatever their goal is. and that all of it works temporarily or some of it works temporarily. And then it just seems like the weight or the problem comes right back. And that's because you really have to adopt whatever it is you're trying to do has to be a lifestyle for you. If it's not a lifestyle, then it does become something that in your mind is temporary. So a lot of this is mindset, right? You're thinking of, you know, okay, I'm going to go on this diet. And a lot of people that do intermittent fasting or lower carb eating will start off wanting to diet and end up finding the other health benefits of the either one or the combination of them and then end up into a lifestyle, which is okay too. But I think that that's the key part is making sure that what you do becomes your lifestyle. This is how you're going to live. And if you can't see yourself living that way initially, then it may not be the thing for you, or you may need a coach or someone to walk you through that. There are different ways of eating, different ways of treating our bodies, and we're all unique and we all have unique circumstances and environmental factors and food preferences and all of that. So you really have to think deeply about what your lifestyle would look like, what your life looks like now, and what your ideal lifestyle would look like. So the other thing I had to learn or relearn was about exercise. I always thought that exercise would be the answer to me losing weight, but I discovered that it wasn't, because I was at my most active, I was actually at my heaviest weight. So when I was cycling and spinning all the time, when I was running in the neighborhood, when I was doing events, you know, half marathon and Pelotonia here in Columbus, that was when I was at my heaviest. And when I think back on that, you know, I had a lot of different reasons for that. It was like, oh, you know, you've gained muscle, and, you know, oh, it's probably just, you know, water weight, or, you know, all those things that we think of. And it's so interesting that now I realize that it was because I wasn't really looking at the quality of what I was eating, which I'll talk about in a second, which is by far probably the most important piece of all of this. But that, you know, exercise just wasn't the answer. That the answer came in meaningful movement. When I thought about how I move my body, it became, you know, finding things that I could do that I enjoyed. So things that were meaningful to me from a mental and emotional standpoint, where, you know, I discovered barre and yoga. When before, when I was doing yoga as part of a plan to lose weight, it just never appealed to me, you know, because I was told and taught that, you know, I had to burn so many calories. I had to exercise so many minutes per day. I had to do certain types of cardio to get weight off. And I found that that wasn't the case. But at the time, when you're looking at that calorie counter and you're doing a yoga workout, you're like, this is not working. And at the time we were doing a yoga class that was like on some type of DVD, but it was 90 minutes, you know, it just seemed like the most boring thing ever. But when I think about that now, when I do yoga now, which most days I do some type of yoga movements or something, it is a different experience. It's a very amazing experience. It's moving my body in a very intentional way, but then also seeing improvements on a daily and weekly basis. Things that I couldn't do or weren't so easy to do when I started are becoming more easy and more seamless, and my body starts to, you know, crave that type of movement. And it's a very amazing thing. A lot of people think of yoga as being something that is, you know, evil and something that shouldn't be part of your regimen, depending on what you believe. But I feel like our bodies are meant to move, you know, and you don't have to focus so much on whatever it is that you're worried about, but focusing on yourself and the spirit within you and focusing on God and how He allows my body to move helps me to really get into that type of a movement, to see physically how it affects my body, but also how it affects my mind and spirit. So that's something. Didn't mean to get off on a tangent about yoga, but yoga is one of my favorite activities. But I found other things, you know, dancing, Zumba classes, weightlifting, things that I just really started to enjoy and really help me feel alive within my body. And it sounds funny to say that, but just to feel your body moving in a way that your body likes to move, and feeling that your body is in good condition and that you're not having a lot of joint and body aches and things, and that your body is sore, but in a good way after working out. So all of that stuff changed for me in this season. I had to really also start to think about not so much thinking about exactly how I wanted my body to look, but what working with what I had and improving upon that, you know. So instead of looking at myself and saying, I don't like this, I don't like that, I'm going to change it. And until I change it, I'm just going to wait. But, you know, I'm going to do the things, but I'm going to wait for it to change to that. I had to learn to appreciate my body the way it is and understand that it's constantly changing, no matter what. It's changing in some way all the time. And so all I can do is try to make sure that those changes are positive instead of negative as much as I can, to the extent that I can control it. And that's how I look at it. I do the exercises that I do because I love them and because I love the feeling of moving my body, not because I'm trying to lose a certain amount of weight or trying to reach some, you know, obscure goal. It's because I really like being in the moment of moving my body, and that is absolutely a game changer. So then when we talk about quality, that's probably the most important thing here. I've talked about lifestyle. I've talked about how I started thinking of exercise as meaningful movement, but the quality of what I ate became so important. It's so easy to just decide that you want someone to tell you what to eat, which is kind of what we all want, right? You want somebody to say, this is what you should eat, and that's it. Here's what you eat on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Some people need specifics like that. But my problem with that, as I've grown in this wellness space, is that it's not teaching the person how to eat and why. It's just teaching them, eat this, not that. The problem with that is, if you have something that's not in the eat this, not that category, you don't know whether you should eat it or not, right? Because you're like, okay, they told me not to eat bananas. They told me to eat avocados. But now I have, you know, a peach, and I don't know what to do with that. You know, those kind of things, where when I started to learn the why of what I was eating and how it affected my body and why I might want to include it or not, changed everything. Because now I can walk around freely. This is something that happens when you're a resident or a medical student. And if you're listening and you've been through that time period in your life, you will be very familiar with how your white coat gets lighter as you move through. So when you start out in medical school, you have a short white coat that comes to about your hip area, depending on your height. And when you have that little white coat, you fill it up with books that you can use. They make little small books that fit in the pockets, and it would be absolutely heavy. You take it off and put it over a chair, and somebody would lift it and they'd be like, oh my gosh, what do you have in this thing? And over time, you would, start to not need them as much. You'd start to learn the material. For me, it was getting familiar with patients and their stories and understanding how someone got from point A to point B. So how they got from, you know, diabetes to, you know, an amputation or whatever it was, but like really understanding their story aspect of that and getting familiar with them and starting to put faces to these conditions that we learned about was very pivotal for me. So, you know, then as you get into residency, it gets even lighter. It gets longer. So now your coat is past your knee. At least mine was, because I'm super short. But your white coat is longer, and you have more wisdom and you know more. You're still kind of learning, you know, and not really knowing what to do in every situation. But you're learning. And by the time, so residency is 3 years, by the time you finish residency, you carry nothing in your white coat. And a lot of times you don't even wear it. Because at this point, you're confident in your skills. You don't need a lot of references. This has probably changed nowadays because we have so many electronic things to look things up. But, you know, back then it was more of everything was on paper. And there were some, you know, computerized things, but for the most part, everything was on paper. So it was a different time. But over time, your pockets got lighter. You didn't need to reference as much. And that's how I think about the quality of the foods that I eat. Now when I go in a store, I can read a label and know immediately if I should or should not buy that item and why. And if I choose to buy it, I do so intentionally with full knowledge of what I'm getting into. There is nothing like that. It's very hard for me to see something and not quite know what's going on with it, because if I can see the label, I can see how it was prepared, I can see what processing was done, I can make an informed decision because now I understand about that food. If there's something I don't understand or don't know about that food, then I'm still making an informed decision, right? I know that there's some variables that are there that I'm not sure of, and I'm taking a chance if I buy that food. I'm taking a chance on that food. And it's much different than going in the store and kind of reasoning, you know, saying, oh, well, you know, this is a box of, you know, instant potatoes, but I mean, potatoes are natural, right? And, you know, this doesn't have a lot of sodium, so that's probably good, right? You know, there's a lot of guesswork there. Whereas now I know how I have the foundation of my lifestyle. I know what type of movement I tend to do. And I also know what kind of foods and the quality of those foods that I want to put in my body. And so these were some things, some mindset shifts that just absolutely changed how I viewed my physical wellness. Over the years, I've continued to study and read and research on a consistent basis about the human body and just the different things I've learned in trying to heal my own body and trying to approach it in a different way. It's absolutely fascinating, and it'll be a lifelong learning process, I'm sure. But to this very day, I'm still learning about how things affect my body, and in different times, because our bodies are so dynamic, the same food may affect me differently. And really understanding that has just been amazing. So, I pray for your physical wellness transformation. Like I said, it is the thing that most people seek out. You know, because they want to change the way that they eat and the way that they move, but there's so much more to it. Again, this pillar blends into the others just as the others blend into it. So if your spiritual and mental and emotional and relational wellness is not intact, then it's going to be hard to target your body and get your body in the shape that you want it to be in. So if you haven't heard all five of these episodes of discovering the different pillars of wellness, I encourage you to go back and just listen to them all. Take some notes. Think about how you want your wellness plan to look. And you can go to my website, and the link is in the comments or in the show notes, to get that free wellness template. Get a free sheet that just kind of helps you organize these different aspects of your wellness and start to make each one part of your day or your week, depending on how you organize it. So as always, take care of you. This has been the Single Well Podcast. For more information on what you just heard, please visit us on Facebook or Instagram at The Single Well, or you can email us at thesinglewell@gmail.com.